The second lesson, which will also serve as the sermon text for today, from Ephesians chapter 4. As a prisoner in the Lord, therefore, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. Live with all humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were also called in the one hope of your calling. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in us all. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of the gift from Christ. That is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took captivity captive and gave gifts to his people. He himself gave the apostles, as well as the prophets, as well as the evangelists, as well as the pastors and teachers, for the purpose of training the saints for the work of serving, in order to build up the body of Christ. This is to continue until we all reach unity in the faith and knowledge of the Son of God, resulting in a mature man with a stature reaching to the measure of the fullness of Christ. The goal is that we would no longer be little children, tossed by the waves and blown around by every wind of teaching, when people use tricks and invent clever ways to lead us astray. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we would in all things grow up into Christ, who is the head. From him, the whole body, being joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows in accordance with Christ's activity when he measured out each individual part. He causes the growth of the body so that it builds itself up in love. This is the word of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16 particularly give us our theme this morning. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we would in all things grow up into Christ, who is the head. From him, the whole body, being joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows in accordance with Christ's activity when he measured out each individual part. He causes the growth of the body so that it builds itself up in love. This is the word of our God. Let us pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, well, I've again enjoyed another year of watching the Olympics. I'm always impressed with the athletes as they compete and perform. Especially the swimmers, you think of their bodies, how perfectly in shape they are, how every part of the body functions to be able to move that body through the water with such perfect skill, every part working perfectly in harmony with each other. The most decorated Olympian of all time, Michael Phelps, who has 23 gold medals alone, is a commentator for the Olympics this year, and he can give a particular perspective on that work, especially of swimmers. As he spoke about a record that he held with one particular swim, he said that record isn't going to stand for much longer, because there's a swimmer who swims the length of the pool on that swim with one less stroke than I do. It's only a matter of time before he's going to break my record. To think how he could improve on the greatest swimmer of all time, just the way he moves his body through the water. The perfect body. It's a marvel to behold. Today, as the Apostle Paul speaks to us in Ephesians, we're reminded of the perfect body. We're reminded that we are the perfect body. Not that we have the perfect body, we are the perfect body. We, as the Church of Christ, you're a member of this body. It's perfect not because of you, it's perfect because of Christ. And as we see that today, God bless us as we consider that fact, that you are the perfect body united by the peace of Christ, and then united to serve each other. So far in our walk through the book of Ephesians, we've seen that we are the church. We're wowed by the grace of God, that He would choose us and include us to belong. And we've also seen that even though we're different, yet we are united. We are the same because Christ has joined us together in the church. Today we see what that sameness does for us in our lives together in the church here on earth. He tells us, Paul urges, walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. That's an urge. It's a gospel imperative, inviting us to live up to what God has made us. But as I personally hear that gospel imperative, I have to admit it convicts me immediately and quite forcefully too. Live up to what Christ has made you. What has Christ made us? He's made us a part of His body, a perfect body. And He invites us then to live up to that calling to which we have been called. Can you do that? Can you live up to that perfect calling? Can you be a member of the perfect body of Christ? As we read on, the implications in verse 2 are quite incredible. Live with all humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another in love. Those words that Paul chooses to use to describe this perfect body of Christ quickly help us to see that we're not so united all the time in our lives with each other. Rather, we're reminded with those words that we annoy each other as fellow believers. We trouble each other. We have to bear up and suffer with each other. First of all, that first word, live with all humility. Literally, it says with modesty, with a lowliness of mind about yourself. The opposite is often the case with us. We always think more highly of ourselves, as our natural state is to look down on others. I'm better, at least I'm not like that. Paul urges us to live with lowliness of mind, modesty, as you recognize and are self-aware of your own failures and shortcomings. And he goes on with the next words, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another in love. That word gentleness is a courtesy toward each other. You have to work to be courteous to one another because others will not naturally be deserving of your courtesy, nor will you be deserving of the courtesy of others because we sin regularly, even as others sin against us. And yes, my sins cause trouble to others in the body of Christ, and they suffer from my sinfulness, even as I suffer from theirs. And so Paul has to urge us to live in gentleness. And then in patience. Patience is a word that literally means long-suffering, to suffer greatly with one another because of the sins that we commit against each other. That's the body of Christ. That's the way we live. Humble and considerate and long-suffering as we bear with one another in love, carrying each other, carrying their burdens, the burdens that they lay upon us because of our sinfulness. Well, when we have an awareness of our own sinfulness, as surely as we know the sinfulness of others, how can we possibly be a perfect body? Paul gives us the answer to that. Peace. Peace is what binds us together in this body of Christ, in this perfect body of Christ. Make every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Earlier, Paul made mention of the fact that he is a prisoner of the Lord. Here he again employs the same term to describe the peace that we have. It's a binding peace, a chaining peace. What is it that chains us together or binds us together in that body of Christ? Well, you could be chained together by hatred or by anger or by jealousy. All of these things we have in common with one another as sinners, of frustration. But that's not what binds us. That's not what chains us together as the perfect body of Christ. Instead, you are bound together by the chain of peace. Those chains of peace are the chains that Christ has placed upon us. When we see that, what a blessed bond! The bond of peace. And then Paul encourages us, he urges us to be quick to maintain that peace, to keep that peace, instead of being quick to destroy it, to lash out at each other, to be critical and destructive of the relationship that we have together in Christ. Instead, we run to the opportunity to keep that peace among ourselves. I picture a child running to his parents quickly to tell his side of the story. Well, he did that and she did that, destroying the peace in the household. But instead, Paul urges, literally, to be quick to run to maintain, make every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Run to keep that peace, to preserve that peace among each other. God help us to keep that bond of peace that He has given to us. And God does help us to do that. Because how has Christ bonded us with peace? Well, first, He Himself has granted you that peace with Himself. Peace with God. Where there was once hatred and enmity between you and God, the Holy Spirit removed that hostility between you and God through the message of His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one who removed the reason for hostility between God and you, because He removed your sinfulness from you. And in this, you were chained, bound to God with the bond of peace. And so God's blessing of peace is bestowed on you every day of your lives as that perfect body. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. That's what God speaks to you as He binds Himself to you. And so Paul says, there is one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in the one hope of your calling. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in us all. That bond of peace that you have with Christ not only connects you to Him, but it also ties you to each other as that perfect body of Christ. What a beautiful picture we have in the communion that God gives to us in the Lord's Supper. We see that we're joined together not just with Christ, who grants us that peace in giving us the forgiveness of all of our sins, but then binds us together in that communion with all of those who join with us at the altar too. And what a blessed communion that is. What a wonderful bond of peace that we enjoy in that perfect body of Christ. And this peace that binds us together is so much stronger than simply just be at peace with each other. This bond of peace that we have with every Christian, with every believer, every person who knows and trusts in Christ, it's more than just, hey, can't you just get along kind of peace? No. It's a peace that reminds us that we are joined one with another because Christ has joined us together. He has made us one and unified us in peace. We are united in one perfect body. So we work together for the same cause, which is Christ. We live for the same cause, which is Christ. And we breathe that same breath, Christ. Which takes us to the second point of our sermon. We don't live to serve ourselves. Instead, we live in that perfect body of Christ to serve each other. Just as all the parts of a swimmer's body work in perfect harmony to move that swimmer efficiently through the water, as efficiently as possible, so the body of Christ is designed to work in perfect harmony, to function in perfect service, to build itself up. As Paul says, Christ gave the ministry and ministers of the word, what? For the purpose of training the saints for the work of serving, in order to build up the body of Christ. Even just that word saints reminds us of the joy that we have in that perfect body of Christ too. What are we joined together with? We're not joined together with sinful people, imperfect people. We're joined together with people who have been made perfect, who are holy and saints because of Christ. And as such, we work together as a part of that perfect body which Christ has joined us to in service to one another. One saint serving another. That's the work of the body, to serve one another as we grow into Christ, building up the body. Is that always the way that we live, though, as Christians? Rather than living to serve others, it's too easy to live a life that is self-serving. How can I use the gifts that God has given me to benefit myself? When we live these selfish lives, we give little concern to the needs of others, the desires of others, the interests of others. Instead, we run roughshod over them as we plow through life serving not the body of Christ, but ourselves, our interests, our own bodies, our wills, and our desires. But how empty is that life that we live when we live such unworthy callings, the calling to serve ourselves. Friends, that's not the calling that we have received from God. And that's not what has bound us together. We have received the calling of God's gift of grace, to be a part of His perfect body. That's what Paul writes here. He says, "But to each one of you, grace was given according to the measure of the gift from Christ." Each one of you was given a gift. Do you realize the beauty of that word, grace? With a law statement so powerful as "live a life worthy of your calling," we understand so well the nature of that grace, because we understand how undeserved it is. And nevertheless, it was given to us, to you and to me, each of us individually in Christ. But now, because of that individual calling, each of us individually called by that grace of Christ, we're no longer individuals. We no longer live on our own, by ourselves, left alone as an island, lost and helpless, immature and hopeless in this life. No, we have each been brought into, made a part of, the body of Jesus Christ. And that body is perfect. Live a life worthy of your calling, Paul urges us. What are you? To what have you been called? A member of that perfect body of Christ's. As he encourages us to reach the full measure, to reach the measure of the fullness of Christ. That's what God seeks for you, His body, the church. That you reach the measure of the fullness of Christ. Wow. Again, that's a pretty high bar. That's some great expectation for you. I might rightly say that's an expectation of perfection for you. To live in service your whole life, serving not yourself, but the body of Christ, your fellow believers. Friends, let me encourage you to see how your life is a life of service to each other. Every week, as you gather to hear the Word of God and be built up in the body of Christ, your hearts are moved to serve that body of Christ. And so you do serve that body of Christ. As that offering plate goes down the rows, and is passed out to you, you have an opportunity to contribute to the continued ministry of that Word of God, which serves not just yourself, but the entire body of Christ. As that offering goes to help the proclamation of the gospel, the apostles and prophets, to support the work of those evangelists, pastors, and teachers who proclaim that gospel, to every child who is brought forward to the font to be given that faith in Christ, to the shut-in who is visited at home to receive the blessed body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, to strengthen them in the faith as they continue to mature and grow in the faith. Your offering serves the body of Christ. How else do you serve the body of Christ? Your prayers for your fellow believers build each other up. As you remember them in your prayers, so you're inspired also to be the very one whom God gives to be that helping hand, to give that word of inspirational encouragement to them as they continue to suffer, perhaps even to provide them the health care that they need, or to provide for the physical care that is left wanting for them. Parents, what a role that you play in this beautiful body of Christ. How easy would it be for children to grow up in the lies and deception of this world? And yet you bring them to grow not just physically, but also bring them to grow spiritually, to mature in their faith as little members of the body of Christ, that they too, though they have sinned, they have been redeemed, restored and forgiven in the body of Christ. And they grow up and mature in that blessed gospel to become mature in that body of Christ. God bless you in that work of service to help them to grow strong in that faith. All of this is to reach that goal of living up to that high bar of perfection that Christ's body has. But to inspire us to that end, we remember what we are. We are a perfect body because we are the body of Christ. We're united in that peace that Christ has given to us. That's what joins us together. That's the bond that binds us. And then as we're united in that bond of peace, God bless us as we take the opportunity to find the gifts that He has given us, use for them in service to each other as we build up that body of Christ. Amen. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen.